Of this lectern, because every time I lean on it, it starts to fall down, so I'm going to hold my iPad aloft. Good morning and welcome to our worship at Hillhead. Our worship this morning will be led by Graham and, as we know, includes a church meeting. And it's good to have both Francis and Graham with us as we move towards the end of our current discernment process. In family news, it's particularly good to see Alan with us this morning, and we welcome him and his carer Ada, who's helped him to be with us this morning. So welcome to you both. We've heard from Joan that her brother and sister-in-law are coming home from Fortaventura. We think as we speak today, those who were with us last week may remember that Catherine fell while on holiday and required a hip replacement. We remember Catherine and Clive as they travel today, and I know that the family are hoping that Catherine will get some more rehab whenever she's back on home soil. We also heard that Margaret had a big birthday on Thursday, and she's right at the back door and not listening. So happy birthday to Margaret for Thursday. In sad news, in our wider Baptist family, we remember the family and friends of Fiona Johnson of Kirkintilloch Baptist Church, whose funeral will be on Thursday of this week. Fiona is known to many of us with her husband Des in wider Baptist circles, and we were praying for them. She died really young and was a mum to some young kids, so we remember all of them as they remember Fiona this week. Our midweek conversation group continues to meet on Zoom on Tuesday at 7, where we will continue our Lent conversations. We're using material from Eco Congregation Scotland, which is really interesting, and everything that you need will be shared during the meeting, and there's nothing to prepare in advance, which I know people worry about. So all are welcome to join in our Lent conversations. On Wednesday at 10:30, the Coffee Club have a special meeting at Barbara's flat, when a speaker is coming to talk about scams and how to avoid them. This is part of a community outreach programme of one of the building societies. Anyone who wants to join Coffee Club for this special meeting is very welcome. Can you please let Joan, Margaret or Barbara know if you wish to attend? And as I mentioned last week, Weems Properties are holding a second community consultation event on Wednesday the 20th between 3 and 7pm at Hillhead Library to discuss and display proposals for our former church building, and anyone who's interested is welcome to attend. Next week we will meet together as usual in the hotel and on Zoom when Lena will lead our worship. These are all the notices I have, but Brian has some greetings he wants to share with us.
Thanks, Holly. You remember I mentioned last week during the service, if you were here or online or listened to it subsequently during the week, you'll remember that on Friday, just past, a group of 15 people who are the descendants of the founders of Hillhead Baptist Church were gathering in Glasgow, never having met each other before, but communicating by phone and email for the last 4 years. I went along to represent the church. There's a lot more to say about it, but all I want to say today, it was a wonderful day and just amazing in so many dimensions. And these 15 people wanted to give their greetings to us this morning. They know that we are meeting in church meeting this morning as part of our worship to think about the next phase of our life together. And so it was really wonderful to meet with them on Friday. And there'll be a lot more about that. They're really interested in everything we're doing.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning as we meet to worship God, to come into God's presence, but also to discern God's purpose for us as a community of God's people in this place. And we want to do that too today as we gather. We gather together this morning and enter the gates of God's presence. Bring a gift of laughter. Bring a gift of singing. Know this, God is God, and God has made us. We didn't make God. We are God's people, God's well-tended sheep. Enter with the password. Thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. These are the words from the Message adaption of Psalm 100. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing unaccompanied. So wait for the choir who are going to lead us. And we're going to sing together. We sing a love that sets all people free. Please stand.
We sing a love that sets all people free, that blows like wind, that burns like scorching flame, and falls like air, springs up like water clear. Come living love, live in our hearts today. We sing a love that seeks another's good, that longs to serve and not to count the cost. A love that yielding finds itself made new.
I was saying to Brian that I stayed in the Free Church Manse in Bimbecula. It was one of these contact things. I went to the church where they had a presenter and they had the new psalm book, which was better than the old psalm book apparently. And so singing unaccompanied with music is part of our Scottishness quite often. Let's pray together as we come before God. Creating God, maker of all, be with us this day. Jesus Christ, servant of the poor, be with us this day. Holy Spirit, breath of life, be with us this day. We've been shown what is good and what is needed to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly in God. For the word of God in Jesus, for God's wisdom all around us, for God's word and wisdom in us, we give you thanks. Move among us, O God, give us life, let your people rejoice in you, make our hearts clean within us, renew us in mind and in spirit. Give us again the joy of your help. May your spirit of freedom sustain us. As Jesus taught us to pray, so we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Sitting at this end of the church looking down towards Emma, I remembered that she'd asked me to announce something that I totally forgot to announce. And that is that we only have one room today. So if any of our young people want to use the back room to do some colouring or some drawing, then please feel free to do that. But also, you are more than welcome to just stay in and participate in our church meeting. So if anyone, actually young or old, wants to go and use the back table to do some colouring, you're more than welcome.
So, peace and love. In my teens, I was part of the hippie generation. I loved my long hair. I had Wrangler denim shirts and Wrangler denim jeans and fancy belts and all the different things and things that you hang around your neck. And some of you will remember that time and things. I loved the Woodstock music. Didn't get to Woodstock, but went to see the film in Glasgow. I was very much part of that thing. Of peace and love. There was a great togetherness in that time, a kind of hopefulness about how the future would be, about peace and no bombs and no wars, and all of that was part of that generation. I did come to grief though when I was traveling to the south of France. My mother didn't like my falling apart denim, so I got some new denims and wore them all the way down to the south of France. And I wasn't just a peely, wally Scotsman. I was a blue Scotsman because the dye had come out of my denim on the journey down south. So it took quite a lot of swimming to get back to some normality. Perhaps Paul could be said to be a hippie when he writes in Romans 12, live at peace with everyone, be devoted to one another in love, peace and love. Paul is defining the whole letter to Romans, peace and love. It stands against all those who today misunderstand and indeed weaponize its earlier chapters, and those who speak of honest love, but who miss the point about what Paul is saying here when he says love must be sincere. Paul wants to bring people together, not to castigate difference. He's trying to create a community and ethos in the Roman church so that there can be unity amidst all the diversity. It was an urban church. It had all kinds of people. It had Jews and it had Gentiles. It had people from all different backgrounds and who could speak all different things. If you go to Rome today, you meet people from all over the world. And that was true then of that world in their time. A church where there was neither Jew nor Greek, where there was neither slave nor free, where there was neither male nor female. For as Paul puts it, if you are all one, in Christ Jesus, then you're one in the church. For Paul, the Christian faith and the praxis that the Roman Christians share in common should distinguish them from others more than the differences that divide them from each other. In regard to these differences, Gentiles must not regard Jewish law as incompatible with Christian faith, and Jews must not regard it as essential to the Christian faith. Justification by faith demanded freedom of lifestyle in faith. Now, clearly, some things were disturbing the church at this time and dividing Christians. However, for Paul, everyone, Jews and Gentiles, are on equal footing in grace and in disgrace, in salvation and in sin. All stand under the mercy of God. All have need of it. So Paul calls on the church to literally rip out any falsehood and pretense and to sincerely love each other. It's quite a violent language, actually. It really means to rip out the things which cause a problem and to come into a togetherness. In other words, to be warm and affectionate, to seek the honor of the other, and to be part of God's family. He uses that family language. We are a family as a church. And for him, that goes beyond the traditions of family, honor, and culture, which was part of that Roman society. The family of God comes first. Paul, in fact, is deconstructing or redirecting some of the major values of the culture. The family-shaped church love of which Paul speaks is other-directed to the self-seeking honor and shame culture of Rome. Honouring oneself or establishing one's own and one's family or tribe's honour was of paramount concern in that society. But Paul calls the church to honour each other. That's a different kind of honouring. It's not honouring prestige. It's not honouring a particular race or a particular kind of way of doing faith. It's not honouring that kind of thing. It's honouring each other for who we are. There's no hierarchical pecking, no social status. Everyone matters. And that's especially important for people who are excluded by race, excluded by gender, excluded by disability, or simply don't have the right status. Paul speaks about family love that's about a radical inclusion where God's love is expansive and embraces everyone. And he encourages us to follow God in that. He encourages us, everyone matters. In the same way, in calling the church in Rome to be at peace with everyone in as far as is possible, Paul is calling them to break the cultural norm of negative reciprocity, where honor is challenged and out comes violence as a way of return. Christians who seek trouble rather than peace are not for Paul. And there are some Christians who seem to seek trouble wherever they go. Paul's message here is perhaps captured best in the musical setting of the well-known prayer of St. Francis. Christine and I went to a service when we were in Italy, and we didn't know it was a St. Francis Day service. And instead of there just being one dog there, there were all kinds of animals. There were parrots. There were people had birds, some had reptiles, there were snakes and all kinds of pets, and they were all brought to the service. So we went in and we were a bit perturbed because along the pew from us were all these different kinds of animals. We didn't know quite what we'd come into. But I love that embrace of nature, which is in St. Francis, but also that embrace of peace. And it came out in this hymn, which was framed by Sebastian Temple. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there is doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there is sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in giving to all people that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there is sadness, ever joy. The be sure to wear some flowers in your hair, peace and love hippie movement was countercultural in its way, but the flowers faded. In a much deeper and lasting way, a church, no matter how diverse, no matter how differing, that holds peace and love at the center of all it is and seeks to be, will continue to challenge and transform the attitudes and lives of people today. Peace and love, hopefully that's at the heart of who we are and what we want to be in this place. Amen. A prayer. This is the Celtic Peace Prayer. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe. Peace, peace, peace. Amen.
Is a shugly lectern, but it would help if I had my prayers the right way up. We come now to pray for each other and for others. Let's pray together. Loving God, most of us have walked this Lent journey many times, following Jesus as he moved towards Jerusalem, the cross, and Easter. Most of us too have attended business meetings, discussing plans and proposals about the future for Hillhead Baptist Church. Yet each year and each church meeting is different. Loving God, we thank you that in all the changing circumstances of our lives, you are a God we can depend on, always faithful, always true, always loving, always merciful. We thank you that you are a God who is constantly at work in our day-to-day lives, in our church here at Hillhead, in the wider church and in the world. Day by day, week by week, year by year, you are working out your purposes. You do not work alone, but have invited us to play a part in your purpose. Help us to respond in faith and to do our bit as you do yours. Enable us to be a people whose lives clearly witness to your love and to live in a way that is honouring to you. And as we play our part, help us to leave all things in your hands, knowing that your love never fails. We thank you for the history of our church, all those who have run the race before us, and to whom we owe our being here now. We thank you for all who are part of our church today, rejoicing in its wide diversity, grateful for the technology which allows us to connect across the country and continents. We praise you for all who use their different gifts to serve our church week by week, with the children, with the music, with the technology, with preaching and leading worship. And we thank you for Graham's thoughtful and wise leadership in our vacancy and for Frances as she has led us through our discernment process. We thank you for all the possibilities you set before us, new areas of service, inviting our response, and new opportunities waiting to be grasped. As we think of our own church, so we would remember our fellow Scottish Baptist churches. This week, praying for Central Baptist Church in Paisley, City Gates Baptist Church in Edinburgh, Central Church in Edinburgh, and Cleland Baptist Church in Lanarkshire. In their varied settings, may they know your faithful presence and your guidance as they follow you this week. BMS World Mission focuses our thoughts this week on Sierra Leone, where they are partnering with two denominations to mobilise churches to be salt and light to their communities and to lead development initiatives. We pray that they would be agents of change and flourish in all that they do. Loving God, we bring to you our troubled world with all its challenges in different areas, those in war and conflict, those facing climate change, those knowing threats to their democracy. This is your world. Look upon us with your compassion, bringing order out of chaos, hope out of despair, and peace out of turmoil. Loving God, we thank you for the fellowship of the church, for the privilege of belonging to your family, and we ask you to help us to honour that calling in all we are and do. Unite us in your love and send us out in faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have music this time. We're going to sing Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let me be as Christ to you.
Let me be as Christ to you.
In work and worship, God is with us. Gathered and scattered, God is with us. Now and always, God is with us. May the strength of God, the source of all being, the wisdom of God, the eternal word, and the joy of God, the divine spirit, abide with us this day. We go in peace. Thanks be to God.
True.